each Sunday, I'm not sure how many of you pay attention, but each Sunday in your worship guide, there's an outline of the sermon. And you'll notice at the bottom, every week, we remind you from the Word of God that we're not to be forgetful hearers, but we're to be faithful doers of the Word. You'll also notice that nearly every week, up in the introductory paragraph, which, again, I'm not sure anyone ever reads, but I work on that really hard. At the end of that paragraph, we always say, remember Jesus' warning, be careful how you listen, from Luke 8. Well, this morning, we come to Luke 8. And the bottom line of everything we have to say this morning is, be careful how you listen. Listening and hearing are obviously somewhat synonyms. Listening is a more active way of saying hearing. And we understand that we mean and experience different things with that. I know all of us who have raised children, we wonder if that Charlie Brown example of what adults sound like on Charlie Brown, wah, 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 if that's what our kids, if that's the only thing they hear sometimes. We think that, right? But it doesn't just go that way. I have a friend who just, I guess because of his sinful flesh, he decided one day that he would wait and listen how many times his kid said, Dad, 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 Dad. Now, I don't recommend this as a parenting technique, all right, but it went on a long time, and sadly, it was because too often he didn't listen to his own kids. He would ignore them. It was an experience that the child recognized, listening and hearing. And the question, of course, where it gets all confusing is sometimes we hear, but we don't really hear. And we can say that opposite ways. We can say, well, I heard that, but I didn't really listen. Or sometimes we say it the other way. We say, well, I was listening, but I didn't really hear what you were saying, right? I mean, we use these terminologies. We understand this concept. But what does it mean when God says, when Jesus himself says, be careful how you listen? Be careful, take care how you hear. I wonder, do we listen to God? Where will we hear him? And what does it mean to hear him? What demonstrates that we have truly heard him? Not merely listened through information, but heard him in such a way that we are transformed. That's the question for this morning. From Luke chapter 8, if you'll open your Bibles there, be careful how you listen, how you hear, from Luke 8. The context here, just to catch you up as we're working our way through Luke's gospel, is, remember last week there was this dramatic encounter of Jesus with a fallen or sinful woman. We don't know what her sins were, but she's overwhelmed with the gift of repentance, with the gift of forgiveness. She's overwhelmed with what that, the results that that brings into her life. And so she comes and she worships Jesus in a very public and a somewhat uncomfortable way. And at the same time that she is in a self-forgetful way, centered upon Jesus and his forgiveness, there is a proud, self-sufficient Pharisee who judges her and holds her in contempt and holds Jesus in contempt. And then we come into Luke 8. Remember, Luke didn't write his book with chapter divisions and verse divisions. So immediately Luke moves into this story. And it's a story of a parable that Jesus tells. And not only would Jesus have shared this on that kind of occasion, and undoubtedly I think he shared it more than once, but he would have shared it on that kind of occasion, but Luke would have included this account to answer the question, why didn't everybody respond to Jesus? I mean, let's face it, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah that Israel had longed for and waited for, anticipated. There is a sense in which there's a burden of proof upon the gospel writers and upon Jesus himself to explain why he was not better received. And that's, in a sense, what Jesus does here. He tells us that some people, though they hear, they don't really hear. They listen, but they don't hear. Or they hear, but they're not really listening. The point is, they haven't really heard. And Jesus shares a parable, and it is a foundational parable, not only for that issue, but I think for all of his ministry. Phil Ryken calls it the parable of all parables, because it is the template through which we understand the way people respond or don't respond to Jesus. And it's not just for 2,000 years ago. And I would suggest it's not even merely for unbelievers versus believers, although I think that's the primary interpretation. But there's an application for each of our hearts. Because Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. So that's what we want to do this morning. We want to think about listening. And to do that, I want to give you 9 things that you need to know about listening. Now, I know somebody, I saw you, you looked at your watch. 9 things, and you looked at your watch. You need to hang on because we're going to fly this morning, all right? And we're going to fly. And here's number one. Let's just get into it. The first thing you need to know about listening from this encounter that Jesus shares and then Jesus experiences in Luke chapter 8, the first thing you need to know is there's a theology of listening or hearing in the Bible. There's a theology of listening or hearing. We've already talked about it a little bit, but let me show you. Let's do kind of a quick Bible study. We're going to end up back here in Luke 8. But go with me, first of all, just a couple of pages to the left, or click back to Luke chapter 6, all right? Look in Luke chapter 6 and check out, for example, verses 46 through 49. Would you look there? This is familiar. We dealt with this several months ago before we took the summer off and went through 1 John. But in Luke chapter 6, look at verse 46. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words," mark it, "and does them," mark it, "I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the storm broke against the house, could not shake it because it had been well built." Watch this now. "But the one who hears," there it is, he hears, "and does not do them, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." What's the difference? Both hear, at least there's some level of their listening that's there. They hear, but one, the hearing is useless because he doesn't follow through. And this helps us understand what I would call this morning a theology of hearing or listening in the Bible. It's possible to hear, but not really hear. It's possible to listen, but you'll find you've not really listened. Now, some of you think I'm begging the question, and the reason you do is because you know this is true with your kids. Because they hear you, but do they really hear you? They heard what you said. They could repeat it to you. But was there any application or follow-through on their part? Maybe your kids are different than mine were, all right? But I think not. We understand this implicitly, don't we? Now, let me show you from the Old Testament that we have a consistent sense of this. Let's start with Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 12, look in verse 2. And if you don't care to turn there, I'll read it for you. But you can turn or click over to Ezekiel 12 if you like. And look in chapter 12, verse number 2. Listen to the prophet speaking to the people of the house of Israel, the rebellious people. In verse number 1 of Ezekiel 12, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, but hear not, for they are rebellious people." Now, don't misunderstand. You know this. There's no way that Ezekiel was dealing with a nation full of deaf people who physically could not hear. They had ears, but in one or another, they didn't really hear. Go over to the book of Jeremiah. Look at what the prophet Jeremiah has to say. Jeremiah chapter 5. You find the same thing in Jeremiah 5, if you'll turn or click there. Jeremiah chapter 5, look in verse 21. Jeremiah 5, verse 21. The exact same problem. Verse 21 of Jeremiah 5, the prophet says, "Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not." And what you find in these texts, as you look at the context and other examples, and we'll talk more about it before we're through, is that this is a willful ignorance or decision to reject and ignore what they've heard. It's not an inability to hear, it's an unwillingness to hear. And that kind of deafness, that kind of listening and hearing, which doesn't follow through to obedience, is condemnatory. Indeed, it is damning. And that's the theology of hearing and seeing in the Bible. And so it produces what we find in the book of 2 Timothy. Turn there over into the Newer Testament. 2 Timothy, look in verse chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if I can find it, it's right after 1 Timothy, I know that. 2 Timothy, look in chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 7. This hearing without hearing, listening without any application. It's demonstrated then by the attitude that you find here in some of the problems that Paul warns Timothy that he'll be dealing with. In chapter 3, look at verse 7. These are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. What a stunning statement. Do you catch what he's saying? They hear and even they learn the truth, but they really have no knowledge of the truth. How is that possible? Well, it's possible. You could go to most seminaries in America and talk to the faculty of the seminaries who have an intellectual knowledge of a lot of truths, but they have no knowledge of the truth. This is what we have to face about the way we listen and the way we hear, that it's possible to accumulate the facts even, but for that not to issue forth in any life change. And so we are hearing, but we're not hearing. We're listening, but we're not really listening because we haven't put it into practice. We're even learning, but we've not come to the knowledge of the truth. And then that brings us over to James, which I know many of you have already thought of. In fact, I've already referenced it briefly this morning, James chapter 1. Would you look there? Just one last passage to consider before we land back in Luke 8. James chapter 1. And this is exactly the same problem that ancient Israel had, that Jesus was addressing in Luke chapter 6 and also in our text today, and that we struggle with today. In James chapter 1, look in verse 22. James 1 verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer," you see, he's heard, but has he really heard it? Because there's a problem there. Look, he is a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, that's going to be repeated in Jesus' words, by the way, perseveres, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So number one, the first thing you need to know about hearing, about listening, is that the Bible has a theology of listening and hearing. And it essentially says this: to really listen, to truly hear, one has to have a positive response. In other words, let me say it this way, more simply. If you're going to hear God, you have to believe Him and obey. And those two things are always linked together: belief and obedience. So if you don't believe, or if you don't believe and obey, you haven't heard God. You can sit through a lot of preaching. You can mark up a lot of notes. You can take home a lot of notebook. You can fill up your notebooks at home with sermon notes. And you've heard a lot of preaching. And you've listened often. And some of us, we even take pride in the fact, well, we must be okay because I go to church. I sit under this guy and he preaches and he doesn't even really show any movie clips and he's not very attentive. I have a lot of funny stories. And so I must be okay because I'm listening to God's word. The point is, if we don't put it into practice, if we don't find a way to obey it, we haven't really heard. This is what the Bible says. Now, with that as a background, go back to Luke 8. And let me show you the second thing you need to know about listening. And that is this: listening is sometimes costly. Listening is sometimes costly. Let me show you what I mean. Luke chapter 8, we'll pick it up in verse 1. Luke 8, beginning in verse 1. "Soon afterward, Jesus went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Now, Luke goes over this pretty quickly, and some want to make perhaps a bigger deal than we ought to make about this, but we do need to acknowledge that while it was a fairly common thing for wealthy or financially comfortable women to support teachers or rabbis, it was an unheard of thing for them to follow them. But these women, Jesus really didn't have much credibility as a rabbi. These women, because of the experience, think of it this way, because they had heard, they had believed, and they had obeyed, their life had been changed by Jesus. Some of them had been healed of evil spirits. They'd been delivered from demonic bondage. They'd been healed of sickness. And because of the change that Jesus had brought in their life, they were willing to follow him around, which had to be inconvenient It was likely some level of scandalous, but beyond that, they gave of their funds. And from what we know, this is one of the only records we have of how Jesus and his disciples found support for their itinerant ministry. It was women like this, and they gave. And there's no indication, while some of them likely were wealthy women, it's hard to believe that a woman possessed with seven demons had been very financially successful. And so, from all spectra of society, from all levels of socioeconomic status, people were willing to sacrifice and give. Now, it's only an incidental point in the text, but it's going to follow through with the other things we're going to see. It's the second thing I would say, and it is that sometimes listening is costly. These women had been forgiven much, therefore they loved much, therefore they worshipped much, therefore they served much, even to the extent that they sacrificed much. That's what we have. Sometimes listening is costly. The second thing I want, or third thing I suppose I'd want you to know today, is that there are different kinds of listening or hearing. And this is the main point of Jesus' parable. So let's look at it. Beginning in verse 4. Again, there are different kinds of listening or hearing. Look at what Jesus says in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, watch this, he who has what? Ears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now what Jesus is getting at is that there are different kinds of listening or hearing. There are these four kinds of soils. The seed is all the same. It has nothing to do with the skill of the one spreading the seed. It's not that the skill is meaningless or insignificant, but Jesus has no address of that. And the seed is all the same. He's going to tell us in a moment what the seed is. But basically the seed renders different results based on the soil. There are different kinds of responses. There are different kinds in the context of what Jesus is saying. There are different kinds of hearing. There are different kinds of responses. There are some people who hear and it brings them life. There are some people who never hear. And there are some people who hear and it brings abundant fruit. There are some people who hear and it gives appearance of life, but there's no significant life. Now before we're through, we're going to walk through all of those responses and look at Jesus' explanation. But let me warn you, because those of you who have done a lot of Bible study, you inevitably read this, and what we do is we put these people into categories. And if you've done studies, you know the debate about this. The first group obviously never come to faith, and the fourth group obviously come to faith and have a life of blessing. But what about these other two in the middle, where the plant goes into the ground, but it's on the bedrock, so there's just a few inches of dirt, but there's limestone bedrock underneath, and so the root can never really go anywhere. So the plant will grow up quickly, sucking all the moisture that's there, but then you understand, it withers when the sun comes out, and when there's no more moisture, it withers and dies. That's the first kind of soil. And then the second soil is the soil where the plant goes into the ground and it seems to get life, but also a lot of thorns and a lot of thistles and a lot of weeds are there too. And those thorns and thistles choke out the life. So there's apparent life there, but then it doesn't last. There's no fruit. And buy as many commentaries as you want and you'll find almost as many answers. You know, there are three that are genuinely saved. And the first two, you know, they're saved, but then they grow carnal and they grow cold and they never really have any spiritual life after that. But they'll be in heaven. There's no doubt about that. Some interpret it that way. There are some who are just absolute that know that there are three who are lost and only the last one is saved. But here's my suggestion to you. We're starting in the wrong place. You're starting in the wrong place when you take your theological, soteriological, soteriology, just a fancy word for salvation. We take our soteriological categories and try to force initially this parable into him. Think of it this way. When Jesus was talking, he was talking from the perspective of a farmer or a sower. Let me ask you this question. Which soil are you pleased with at the end of the day? What are you looking for? I mean, are you satisfied for soil that gives temporary life and, you know, you're excited about this? My gardening experiences, they're in the middle two soils. I mean, this is where I've lived as far as gardening, right? And I love that initial life. I love that. Well, the sprouts are coming up. And then I look back later and I think, what happened? I got to go back to HEB. I mean, what happened? And what happened? I'm not satisfied with that. Now, just look at it on its face value. That's the way you have to deal with all of Jesus' parables. You begin by looking at it face value. And what's the message he's giving here? That there's only one kind of soil to really look for. There's only one kind of soil to desire. Watch this. There's only one kind of soil you want to be. It's the kind that has abiding, persevering life. That's what he's going to say. That's something you need to know about hearing. Is there are different kinds of hearing. And it's not just so cut and dried as we often think. I mean, here's the way we think about it. All the people who didn't bother showing up for church today, they're in the first crowd, right? And all of us, we must be the good people. We must be the ones Jesus is pleased with. And you know what? The Holy Spirit for each and every one of us is saying, wait a minute, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. There are different kinds of listening or hearing. The fourth thing you need to know this morning about hearing is that dull hearing is sometimes God's judgment. I'll say it again. Dull hearing, a failure to hear, it's sometimes traceable to the judgment of God. I recognize we don't think of it in these terms, but it's exactly what Jesus says. Look in verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables. In other words, I'm teaching these things in parables so that, in other words, my intention for teaching them in parables, I teach them parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Whoa. I mean, let's face it. The superficial, typical way we think about Jesus is he wanted everybody to always understand and hear everything. And here what he's saying is, no, there are times in which the reason I'm being somewhat obtuse, the reason I'm being somewhat enigmatic in my language is because the intention is that people not understand. That's troubling to us. What Jesus is doing would have been very familiar to Jewish hearers. What Jesus is doing is he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. We won't turn there this morning, but most of us know that text. It's the text of the great vision that Isaiah has of God in the temple. Holy, 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 the angels are crying out. And then God commissions Isaiah, and it's the kind of commission that no church planter ever wants to get. Because basically God says, you're going to go and you're going to preach, and I'm going to plan it so that nobody responds to you. Who wants to sign up for that? But that's exactly what God says. Because it is part of the judgment on a rebellious, hard people. Now, there's a mystery here. I know there's a tension here, and I'm not going to be able to resolve it for you. But people are responsible. But at the same time, sometimes the reason they don't hear is because God has hardened their heart himself, rooted in their unbelief. So we ask the question. The question goes like this. We say, why is it that people don't believe? Why is it that people can't hear? Why is it that people listen, but they don't really hear? They hear, but they don't obey. They don't believe. They don't apply. Why is that? And there are several answers in the parable, as we're going to see in just a moment. You could say, well, it's because the evil one steals away the truth. You could say, well, because of the broken world we live in, and there are so many things and distractions and troubles. You could say, well, it's just a personal choice. It's a choice of unbelief, because we're all responsible for the soil of our hearts, of our minds, of our souls. Or you could say, according to this text and others, it's the sovereign plan of God and the mystery of his sovereign grace, who he moves and who he doesn't. And then, you know what? You'd say those things, and you would be right about every one of them. There's a mystery there that we can't comprehend. We can't sort it all out. There is personal responsibility, but accompanying personal responsibility is the reality that sometimes God dulls the hearing and the heart because of judgment. And we can't know that. In fact, let me say that again. We can't know when that is. Because here's the response to this. The response is, well, if God's going to go around hardening hearts, why do I have to do anything? Why do I have to talk? God's going to open hearts. He's going to harden hearts. It's not really my problem. But yes, it is. Because the point of it is that the sower just sows the seed. That's the point. The great English preacher, Charles Spurgeon, he addressed this issue. And he addressed it, but not in the page that I have marked. Just a moment. He addressed this issue this way. He said, what the minister has to do is to go forth in his Father's name and scatter precious truth. If he knew where the best soil was to be found, perhaps he might limit himself to that which has been prepared by the plow of conviction, but not knowing men's hearts, it is his business to preach the gospel to every creature, to throw a handful on that hard heart yonder, and another handful on that overgrown heart, which is full of cares and riches and pleasures of this world. He has to leave the fate of the seed in the care of the master who gave it to him, for well he understands that he is not responsible for the harvest. He is only responsible for the care, the fidelity, and the integrity with which he scatters the seed, right and left, with both his hands. Spurgeon goes on to say, we are bound to preach the gospel, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. Let men's hearts be what they may. I am not loosed from my obligation to sow the seed on the rock as well as the furrow, on the highway as well as in the plowed field. Because I would add, you never know what God will do. And you never know from circumstances where there will be fruit. Dull hearing is sometimes God's judgment, but that doesn't remove the responsibility to share the truth, because we never know. Well, we're to number five. Number one, there's a theology to listening or hearing in the Bible. Number two, sometimes listening is costly. Number three, there are different kinds of listening or hearing. Number four, dull hearing is sometimes God's judgment. Number five, one thing is worth listening to above all else. Look at what Jesus says in verse 11. And we'll read down to verse 15 as well. Beginning verse 11, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path who are those who have heard, do you see it? They heard it. You catch that? They heard it. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. All right, I'm just going to stop there. Do you see that there's the gospel? With all this talk about doing the word, and he's going to end with talking about that his family are the ones who hear and do the word of God. But at the foundational level, our response to God's message is initially and fundamentally that we believe and are saved. It's not that you can do it, not that you can work hard enough. It's, oh, now I understand it, now I know what I have to do, and I'm going to do it really well, and then God will be pleased with me. At the foundational level, Jesus, even implicitly, you would miss it if you don't look at it carefully. He says, no, the point is, this is what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want people to hear the word in such a way that they will believe, because when they believe, what happens to them? They are saved. And then the outworking of that is the doing the word. The outworking of that is the obedience. The outworking of that is the love and the worship and the service that we talked about last week. Go on. They may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who, there it is again, they hear, don't they? They are those who hear, but as they go on in their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The implication from the previous verse is they hear it, they believe, they are saved, and then they hold it with a good heart. They hold it in integrity. They bear on with perseverance. They don't just give up. Two things here. The first, as I've already said, number five, there's one thing worth listening to above all else, since the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. We use the word gospel. We talk about the word of God, but in the Bible, these are all blended together. I love it in First Thessalonians, where Paul says of the Thessalonian believers, when we came, we brought you the gospel and you received it for what it was, not the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God. This is the only thing really worth listening to above all else. Above all else, it's the word of God, which is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. There's one thing worth listening to above all else, the seed, the word of God. Number six, from this text, various obstacles hinder listening well. Let me just summarize these very quickly. I'll summarize them. The obstacles, first of all, the first soil, it's sabotage. Sabotage by the evil one, right? The evil one is actively engaged. In fact, the most active individuals in this parable are the sower and the devil. Everything else tends to be relatively passive. But the devil is active in his desires for people not to hear or not to hear in any kind of significant way. So there's sabotage. Number two, the second kind of soil represents adversity. There's some people that it's just too tough. By the way, this kind of soil, you would never know the soil exists by hearing a lot of preaching today. Because the idea is you come to Jesus and all your problems go away. But that's precisely what Jesus says does not happen. He says the truth is this world is filled with trouble, adversity. And you need the kind of root, you need the kind of grounding that adversity doesn't overwhelm you. Sabotage, adversity, and then the third is distraction. And you know about distraction, don't you? The cares of the world, the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the riches of the world. We've been struggling with that over the last several months. We've been looking at idols. We've been talking about where our heart's desires really are. Distractions. Various obstacles hinder listening well. Let me move on. Pick it up in verse 16. Follow along. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Take care then how you hear, how you listen. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Number seven, things you need to know about listening. Nothing is more important than listening to the Word of God. Nothing is more important than listening to the Word of God. Jesus says in verse 16, here's the point about light. Light not only illuminates, but it also exposes. We know all about this, don't we? From 1 John, light versus darkness. From John chapter 3, men love darkness because their deeds are what? Evil. And what Jesus says in this context about responding to the Word is that the reason it's important is because this is what God has designed the Word to do. He's designed the Word to bring light. And what light does? It not only enlightens and illumines, but uncomfortably it also exposes. This is the reason there's nothing more important than the Word of God. This is the reason that this fallen woman came with weeping and profusely worshiping Him in chapter 7 because her life had been exposed by the light of the teaching of the Word of God, and yet she found forgiveness. This is what the light does. It illumines. It also exposes. And that's the reason there's nothing more important than listening to God. Because tragically, to shift the metaphor from hearing to seeing, what happens is that when you don't incorporate the truths of God's Word into your life, you are a blind man stumbling in the dark. This is your life. Is there a better metaphor for the world in which we live? Blindly searching for some kind of truth, some kind of satisfaction, some kind of meaning, some kind of purpose. The blind leading the blind, Jesus said. Here is light. And there's nothing more important than listening to God. Number eight, from the same text, the process of listening is counterintuitive. The process of listening is counterintuitive. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, look again at verse 18. We don't think of it this way, and it's very sobering. Because Jesus says this, for the one who has more, more will be given. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. You see, this is especially the case in America, where we want everything evened out. There's an egalitarianism in the way we think, and some of it has been, I think, healthy and good for our society, but sometimes it drifts over into areas it shouldn't be. And the idea is, well, you know, the way God wants to even everything out. And so for people that don't really, you know, they don't really pay much attention, God will give them more so they'll get up to the same level. Jesus says, no, it doesn't work that way. Because if you're comfortable with nothing, you'll find out the little bit that you have will be taken away. And on the other hand, if you have an abundance and you cherish that abundance and you nurture that abundance, God will give you more abundance. That's counterintuitive, but that's what Jesus says here. This is the reason you find it so easy for you when you begin to neglect the Word of God. It's like a slippery slope. But when you really pour yourself into the Word of God and you'll engage that process with others in community and they speak into your life, you'll find that you get more and more out of it. This is exactly what Jesus says. Listening, in this sense, the process of listening is counterintuitive. And this is not just preaching. In fact, I would go further than that. I would say if your confidence that you're hearing the Word of God is linked to about from 10:25 on Sunday morning to about 11:10, if that's your hearing of the Word of God, let me tell you, it's woefully insufficient. It's wherever you find the Word of God. It's wherever God's Word speaks to you, where the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to your heart and mind. It's when you read the Word of God daily. It's where you're engaged in community group or in Bible studies with others. It's wherever you find the Word of God. Phil Ryken talks about this. He says, to do this, we need a good use of the truths that we know from Scripture. We make use of the law in Scripture by confessing our sins. We make use of the gospel by trusting in Jesus. We make use of the doctrine of election by living with humility, remembering there is nothing in us to deserve God's grace. We make use of the doctrine of justification by living free from any attempt to improve our standing with God, resting instead on the finished work of Christ. We make use of the doctrine of sanctification by growing in practical holiness. We make use of the doctrine of perseverance by remaining steadfast under troubles and trials. We make use of the doctrine of glorification by waiting in hope for Christ's return. That's what listening with application means. That's what taking the truth that you already have and then the increasing truth that you hear through preaching, through teaching, through reading the Word, through your fellowship with others, and putting it into practice. And when you do that, you'll find that God exponentially grows it and blesses it in your life. And when you neglect it, you'll find that you will exponentially lose ground. This is what Jesus is saying. I have to finish. Let me give you number 9. Hearing and responding to God's Word is a reflection of relationship. Look at what happens next. In verse 19. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him. But they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. Let me stop right there. The other gospel writers make it clear that they're troubled about Jesus because they feel like he's gone off the rails. I mean, all of the conflict and the way the religious authorities were uncomfortable with him, they were concerned about him. So they were basically going to try to come and kind of set him right, as it were. But Luke isn't concerned to criticize, nor is Jesus really criticizing his family. In fact, the Greek is really kind of complex here. It's almost as though Jesus struggles not to condemn his family. But look at what he says. They say, your mother and your brothers are outside. We assume Joseph was already dead by this time. Your mother and brothers are outside desiring to see you. And he answered them and said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You catch this? An indicator of your relationship is how you respond to God's word. How you listen. If you really listen with application, with obedience, with belief. He doesn't dishonor his family here. He rather honors those who hear and do the word in this context. There's a theology of listening in the Bible. Sometimes listening is costly. There are different kinds of listening or hearing. Dull hearing is sometimes God's judgment. One thing is worth listening to above all else. Various obstacles hinder listening well. Nothing is more important than listening to God. The process of listening is counterintuitive. And listen, hearing and responding to God's word is a reflection of relationship. Having said all of that, don't read, just listen once more. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. There is not anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you listen. Your takeaway today. God speaking. God speaking. It's in His Word. God speaking. Now listen up. Listen up. Father, many of us have heard for many years, yet have we really heard? Make us the kind of people who truly hear, who genuinely listen, who believe and obey. Help us believe, and in believing have forgiveness, and in forgiveness respond in love, and in love we worship you, and in after worshiping you we serve you, and we serve you with great sacrifice. Lord, may we as a church, but even as individuals and as families, may you find in us, as much as it is our responsibility and ability to do so, may you find in us the kind of soil that receives the word, nurtures it, treasures it, and from it bears fruit through your Holy Spirit. Help us listen well. Help us be careful, always. Help us be careful how we listen. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Go ahead and stand.